Okay, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And welcome to this special service, we could call it. And again, we're going to hear from our guest in just a moment. But before that, I just wanted to share a couple of thoughts with you from Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5 and verses 1 to 8. So Luke 5, 1 to 8. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, I hope I pronounced that correctly, and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." You know, I'm just thinking about what is it that really causes a conversion in a person's life. We think that if we preach hard against sin, we think that if we put people under the law, if we put, you know, like give people rules and regulations, somehow we will be constrained. And maybe it is true in one sense. We are not against the law. The Bible says that the law is something good, actually, if it's used in its proper way. But the law was never meant to save people. The law was never given, not even to sanctify people. And we need to understand the law in the right context, meaning that no one can fulfill the law. Only one person has done it, Jesus Christ. And when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, what will happen is that His own righteousness will be imputed to us as a gift. So our standing before God is 100% perfect right away, the moment I have trusted Him as my Savior. And some people say, well, I know that and I agree with that, but then after that has taken place, I need to, you know, live by the law in order to be sanctified. But, and you know, people talk about, you know, we need to repent, and the word for repent in the Greek is really to turn around 180 degrees, like what I'm doing now. So it actually means that it doesn't mean like some people think that, okay, I want to become a believer, so I need to clean up my life 100%. And then when I have done that, I can come and I can receive the gift of salvation. It's the other way around. I hear the gospel, I believe the gospel, I receive the gospel. And when I've done that, because of the transformation that has taken place in my life, and because I am now in a union with Jesus Christ, I can now also receive the life which will change me or transform me. And I love this thing here that Jesus didn't show up to tell Peter, you need to change this or that in your life, then you can follow me. He didn't do anything like that. He just came and he showed him his greatness. I love what Pastor Brian was sharing when he was here, that God is the one who creates the need in us so that He can meet that need. And to us that sounds not very logical, right? Because if there is a need in my life, why cannot God meet it right away the way I want it to be met? But why does he have to like have this other way of doing it? You know, first creating the need. But it's because of God's desire to have an intimate relationship with us. That's his desire. It's very easy for God to do these things. If he wanted to fill that net when they were out, he could have done that easily. But he didn't. He didn't allow those fish, he didn't direct the fish to the net immediately, but instead the nets were empty. And then he told them, go back out into the deeper water. And Peter could have told him and said that, come on, I'm the fisherman, you're the carpenter. I mean, Jesus was a carpenter by trade. But he didn't do that. He said, at your command, I will, you know, do what you said, you know. And then the nets were so full that they could not even pull them in by themselves. They had to bring the others over there. And when that happened, it was amazing because Peter, the reaction was, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Jesus didn't say that to him. He didn't say that, oh, Peter, you're a sinful man. He didn't say that. All he did was that he said, launch out, you know, put this net into the water again. But wait a minute, we've been working all night. We've been working hard. You know, we know where the fish can be found or find. We don't need to do that. You know, who are you to tell us these smart advice or advices? And then we see beautifully how he trusted him, and he actually did what he was said to do, and God did a miracle, and therefore we see how that brought about a conversion in Peter's life. And when I think about my own life, what is it that has really made a difference in my life? You know, we all have times when we have, you know, maybe given up things in our lives, so we have started to do the right thing, so to speak. We have done previously maybe the wrong thing or whatever. But I mean, what caused that? Well, it was these type of events. You know, it wasn't like somebody showed up and told me that you're a sinner, you're bad, you know, you need to. I mean, a lot of people have done that, but I mean, it didn't work. Maybe I changed for a while, maybe I did it outwardly, but inwardly there was no change, and I was immediately under bondage. But when the grace of God hits you, it's amazing, and that's what happened to Peter. He was absolutely astonished, because he saw the kind of power that was in Jesus. And why am I saying that? Because this is God's greatness. God's greatness causes this thing. And then I was also thinking about God's goodness. In Romans 2:4, it says that, don't you know that it's the goodness of God that actually brings you to repentance? And then I was thinking about the grace of God in Titus 2, verses 11 and 12, where it says that the grace of God has appeared to all men. And actually it speaks about Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ, because he came with grace and truth in John 1:17 and 18. You know, now what happens is that the grace of God has come to us. And it says that it teaches us to deny ungodliness. And another verse that I came across just the other day was in Proverbs 15:1. And it says there that, I have to read it because I had another Bible, I guess, when I read it. So sorry. Proverbs 15:1. Ah, here we go. A soft answer turns away wrath. That's the A part of Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath. And I'm thinking, like, from the day when man fell, there has been this anger against God. Man is angry with God. And Jesus said about himself in one place that they hated me without a cause. They hated me without a cause. Why would you hate a person who comes into this world to save you? But the world is hating him, and the world is also hating the believers, because if we identify with him in many places, I mean, we know that there's persecution and so on, and it's because of that connection that we have with him. But a soft answer will excuse me for being so distracted here, but yeah, okay, a soft answer turns away wrath. That's what he said, turns away wrath. And I'm just thinking about God's reaction. You know, the human race is fallen, and we double up our fist, you know, and we say, yes, you know, God, you know, you're bad, you know, you caused this world to be this way and all this thing, you know, and we're blaming God for you know, sickness and wars and this and that, and we always accusing God. But a soft answer turns away wrath. What is the soft answer of God? Well, it's Calvary. You know, God's answer to angry mankind was to send his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to die for our sins. That's the soft answer. And when I see that, it breaks me in the sense that, wow, we are angry with God, but he's not really angry with us. Yes, he's holy, and he cannot fellowship with sin, so he had to deal with sin, and he did so in the body of Jesus Christ on the cross, but now his own righteousness has been imputed to us. It's a soft answer. We have received the grace of God, and what we have now is amazing. We have this amazing fellowship with him. But that soft answer, I believe, changed a lot of hearts in world history, and is still changing hearts today. You know, this is our message. It's the gospel of grace, which is the power unto salvation, it says in Romans 1, 16 and 17. And I love that. A soft answer takes away the wrath. And think about Peter one last time. He was out there, and the Lord didn't point out anything to him, that he had done things wrong, or he should shape up, and he should, you know, change in different areas. No, he just told him to act in faith and put out the nets a little further out where there was deeper water. And at that time, Peter broke completely, and he said, "Who am I?" You know, and you know, depart from me, because he realized that God was in his midst. And I think that is something that we can really remember this morning, that this is how we are being converted, when we are overwhelmed with the greatness of God, when we are understanding the goodness of God, and when we are embracing the grace of God. So, Lord, we just thank you for these few thoughts. Bless them through our hearts in your name. Amen. So, sorry.